Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, we begin with Allah's blessed name. We praise Him and we glorify Him as He ought to be praised and glorified. And we pray for peace and for blessings on all His noble messengers, and in particular on the last of them all, the Blessed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And we want to commend our brother Mujahid for having organized this session. This is what I like, about 25 people. This is a good number, 25 or so, 25, 30. And you can do much more with this than with 200 people. Yes. So I'm very happy that Mujahid has organized this session. But if you invite people for a session like this, you cook some biryani. I don't know what is the favorite dish for Somalia.
Rice and meat.
Rice and meat, okay. And then we have a discussion session and we get to know each other and so on. This is a better format here. And the topic that Mujahid wants me to address is Hijra in Akhir al-Zaman. And I have been speaking of Hijra for 25 years now. I've been telling Muslims in Britain in particular, Britain, this is the first country from which you should be making Hijra. Yes, it's more important to make Hijra from Britain than from the United States and Canada. Yes. And wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. And the reason for this is can be found in a branch of knowledge known as Ilmu Akhir al-Zaman. Ilmu Akhir al-Zaman, or the knowledge of the Akhir al-Zaman, Akhir al-Zaman, the end time. And no one in all of history has spoken more on this subject than our Nabi. Our Nabi, Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. The tragedy we have faced, which is not there with the Christians and not there with the Jews, but with us. And I don't know what is the reason for it. I don't know. That this subject was always taught from Hadith. From Hadith. It was never an independent branch of knowledge. It was just another subject in studies of Hadith. But our methodology for study is we never commence anything with this Hadith. Our methodology is that we always commence with the Quran. That is our methodology. And our Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, our Shia brothers have a different view, he says, I leave behind me two things. So long as you hold on to them, you'll never go astray. And we have to remind you of that. I leave behind you the Book of Allah and my way of life. That's what he said. I don't intend to pick up any boxing gloves with the Shia on this subject. No. Because they say, no, it's I leave behind you, behind me the Book of Allah and the Ahlul Bayt. But if Allah left the Ahlul Bayt, would you kindly ask the Ahlul Bayt where they are now? I want to meet with them. Number two, When I meet with the Ahlul Bayt, I ask them, can you kindly explain to me what is happening with this virus and this vaccine? I want an answer, because that's what you say. That it is the Quran, and you are the ones to guide us. When I meet with the Ahlul Bayt, I want to ask them, is this money that we are using now halal or haram? Yes, tell me. When I meet the Ahlul Bayt, I want to ask them, are we allowed to be members of the United Nations organization? Are we allowed to be members of the International Monetary Fund? I want answers from the Ahlul Bayt. I don't even hear that. That disposes of this argument. I leave behind me two things, the Quran and Ahlul Bayt. I dispose of that. The Quran and my way of life, my Sunnah. So if I am to study the Sunnah and the Hadith, I must do it with the Quran. I must do it with the Quran. This is scholarship. Give priority to the Quran. Who can argue with that? Not only that, but Allah says in the Quran that He is protecting this Quran. Has He ever said that about the Hadith? That does not mean that the Hadith is not important. And Imran is most certainly not saying that the Hadith is not important. So don't come with that nonsense that I'm speaking against the Hadith. We'll ask you to leave. Stay away from us. We're not criticizing the Hadith. We're not condemning the Hadith. We're not saying that the Hadith are unimportant. No, we're not saying any of that. What we are saying is that absolute truth is located only in the Quran. You want to argue on that? We'll take you on that. We'll take you on that. Absolute truth is located only in the Quran. Come on if you want to challenge us. Absolute truth is located only in the Quran. Not in the Hadith. And so you must use the Quran to judge the Hadith. But they don't want to do that. They're stuck in concrete. They refuse to use the Quran to judge the Hadith. And so we've never had a branch of knowledge in Islam like the Christians had and the Jews had, of ilmu akhir zaman, or in English you say Islamic eschatology. As a branch of knowledge, it would mean that you have to go to the Quran and see what does the Quran have to say on the subject of the end times. And then use the Quran to judge the Hadith, and then you'll develop a branch of knowledge. So when we come to Hijrah, where do we start? The schoolboy will start with the Hadith, because he doesn't have proper methodology. But we start with the Quran. And let me say one thing. I don't care two peanuts for those who are annoyed with me. Because I'm 83 years of age by the moon, and almost 80 by the sun. So I'll soon be off, away from this world. I'll soon be away from this world, inshallah. I'll leave this world to them. But if what I am speaking and teaching is the truth, it will survive, and they can't do anything about it. So when we go to the Quran to study the end time, which surah comes first? Huh? That's right, Mujahid, don't answer any more questions. Let Somali answer some questions. Surah al-Kahf of the Quran comes first. Why? Who answered? That's right. The only surah of the Quran about which the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, recite the first 10 ayat. In another hadith, the first 3. In another hadith, the last 10. Recite the first 10 ayat of verses of Surah Al-Kahf over Dajjal and you will be safe from Dajjal whenever you're attacked by Dajjal. This is the only surah of the Quran, singled out by the Prophet. Only one. Secondly, the three the three major actors in Akhiru Zaman or the end time are not the US president and the British prime minister and the French president. The three major actors in the world in Akhiru Zaman are Al-Masih al-Dajjal, Ya'juj and Ma'juj, or Gog and Magog, and to a lesser extent, Dabbatul Ard. Okay? And Dajjal is in Surah Al-Kahf, and Ya'juj and Ma'juj, or Gog and Magog, are in Surah Al-Kahf. The background to Surah Al-Kahf is very interesting. It is one of those surahs where you absolutely must study the what is called the Asbab al-Tanzil, the historical background to the revelation of a surah, or a revelation of a passage of the Quran. Asbab al-Tanzil. And we learned that the rabbis had said, ask him these three questions. You know about these three questions? Shake your head. Shake your head. You know about these three questions? Oh, you don't know about the three questions? Your masjid never taught you the subject? No, that is bad news for me. The Quraysh did not know how to deal with this problem. He was born amongst us from a child, and he grew up, and he was so honest and trustworthy that we gave him the name Al-Amin. And now, at the age of 40, he claims that there is only one God. And you cannot put God in a temple. Who is this man? Who says that he is a prophet? Like unto Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, Nabi Musa alayhi salam. So let us send and ask the rabbis who were there in that city north of Mecca. The name of the city was Yathrib. Yathrib. So they sent a delegation. And the rabbis replied and said, ask him these three questions, which only a prophet can answer. So Arnold Toynbee can answer them, the great British historian. Only a prophet can answer. Ask him about the young man and the cave. Ask him about the great traveler who traveled to the two ends of the land. And ask him about the roof. Are you hearing this for the first time? Most of you?
Yeah.
That is so sad. Really, that is so sad. And Allah sent down the answers. I have a book entitled Suratul Kahf in the Modern Age. We brought it with us tonight, but only 2 copies. All my books we brought tonight is available in stock in London, but only 2 copies. About 20 or 21 titles. The rest are in Pakistan, another 10 or 11 titles. Okay. If you want the whole set, then we have to order the rest from Pakistan for you. So this book is entitled Suratul Kahf, Suratul Kahf and the Modern Age. And in this book you have the story of how Allah responded and answered 2 of the questions in Suratul Kahf. And the third answer placed in when? Surah Isra, about the ruh. So we're not going to touch on the ruh today for Hijra. Nor are we going to take up the great traveler for Hijra. Rather, we take only the young men and the cave. And it is with this story that the surah begins. That these young men had faith in Allah. Like all of you who have come tonight. That's why you're here. That's why you're here tonight. Because you have faith in your heart. You love your deen. They were like that. But they're living in a world just like outside the restaurant. A godless world, which doesn't care 2 peanuts for worshipping Allah. But that godless world was insistent, you will not be left in peace until you live the way we live. Know this, when the young men facing persecution, you cannot work unless you take the vaccine. You refuse to take the vaccine, you lose your job. Your children will not be able to go to school without a vaccine. You can't travel with public transport, no bus, no train, no aircraft, no registered taxi. You can't get a driver's license unless you are vaccinated. Are you feeling the rope around your neck getting tighter and tighter? I got an email this morning from someone from Kosovo, resident in Italy. He said, Sheikh, I have been listening to you for 10 years now. And I know that what you're teaching is the truth. And I'm telling you, here in Italy, I cannot work anymore without the vaccine. I can't travel anymore without the vaccine. And tomorrow I will not be allowed to go in a supermarket unless I'm vaccinated. What to do? He just wrote to me this morning. This was what the young men were facing in Suratul Kahf. Despite the fact that that world, that godless world out there, was targeting them with war on Islam, these young men were not afraid. They didn't get scared. They didn't bow down in submission and say, we did nothing else we can do. We have to submit to them. Rather, they stood up with courage and with integrity, and they proclaimed the truth without regard for consequences. This is what I am, and you are not going to change me. This is Surat Al-Kahf. So naturally, when you are persecuted, you have to do something. You can't just sit down. What did they do? Answer? Hijra. Answer? Hijra. So we don't approach the subject of hijra from hadith. They can do that. We go to the Quran first. And if I raise my voice, I have every right to do that. Because they're not listening to me. They're shutting the doors of the masjid for me all over. The greatest threat we've ever faced is a man named Imran Hussein. But I don't care 2 peanuts for them. I can raise my voice. This is our way. That's your way. We go to the Quran first and get hijra from the Quran as it applies to this age. That's what I've just done. Yes. They left their city, they left their jobs, they left their home, they left everything. And they made hijrah. And Allah says, إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَى. Because of this response on their part, I increased for them their guidance. I gave them even more rightly guiding than they were before. وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. I strengthened their hearts because of the way they responded. I am not going to submit. If I have to lose my job, I don't care. That's not the end of the world. If I can't travel with your PIA, that's PIA, isn't it? That's, you can't fly on PIA unless you have a vaccine. But I flew with British Airways from Islamabad via London to Albania. And then I flew back to London. I am not vaccinated. But Pakistan, international vaccination. We are not going to submit. Regardless of what you do. So they fled. And that's what you have to do as well. For some of you, of course, it's already too late. Because you sold your freedom for a house. Yeah. You left Bangladesh, you left Pakistan, you left Egypt, you left Somalia, and you came to London. The first thing I need to do is to buy a house. But once you had a salary slip, you go to the bank, you get a mortgage, you buy a house. And you sold your freedom. You sold your freedom for a house, because now you're a slave. You cannot allow yourself to lose your job. Because if you lose your job, you lose your house. You can't pay your mortgage. So for you, it's too late. For others, the husband may say, I'm going. The wife says, honey, you can go, I'm staying. The children says, Papa, you can go, we are staying here. For some, it's already too late. Yes. And they will cry. Tears will fall tomorrow. when your grandchildren are eating bacon and eggs for breakfast and drinking wine at lunchtime. Tears will fall tomorrow because you didn't listen. We've been telling you all these years, make hijrah, make hijrah, make hijrah. They fled. And when they reached the cave, they stopped, maybe temporarily, to take some rest. The cave was not their final destination. But when they reached the cave, Allah put them to sleep. وَدَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ آذَانِهِمْ فِي الْكَهْفِ سِنِينَ عَدَدًا. We shut the door to noise, internal noise. So there was nothing to interrupt them and disturb them in their sleep. And they slept and they slept and they slept for 300 years. Now listen carefully. Why does Allah speak of 300 years? Remember, this is the surah connected with Dajjal, connected with Gog and Magog, and therefore connected with the modern age. What does the figure 300 years represent? They slept for 300 years. And when they woke up, Allah woke them up. And the people got to know because someone went to buy the food. And the money he was buying the food, money, that money had changed over time. Nobody was using that money. So, because you always have, money was coins and each government would mint on the coin something, see? So then everybody got to know about these young men and the cave, but they've been sleeping for 300 years. And when they died, the people decided we have to commemorate. And what was the choice? What did they do? They decided to build a house of God. A masjid, the house of God, indicating that the godless age of war on Islam and of relentless oppression will last for only 300 years. Are you reading between the lines as yet? What Surah Al-Kahf is telling you? That's right. Insofar as the modern age is concerned, the age of Dajjal and of Gog and Magog, the Surah is telling us, giving us these words of comfort, that this reign of godlessness and oppression in the world, of biological warfare, will last for 300 years. And at the end of 300 years, the world will return to a world of faith. I don't think you'll find any Darul Uloom anywhere on the face of the earth today who can give this message to the people. I'm not speaking ill of the Darul Uloom. Don't tell me that. I'm speaking factually, but they wouldn't listen. I have just showed you how it is possible to interpret Surah Al-Kahf in such a way that you apply it to the world today on the subject of Hijra. I have not as yet even gone to the Hadith. I've been with the Quran. Our Prophet said, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, The time will come when holding on to Islam will be like holding on to hot coals. Ask them to talk on that hadith. Ask the Darul to do it. Some of them do it. He said the time will come when a believer, in order to preserve his faith, would have to flee to the mountainsides and to places where rain falls and take with him some sheep and goats, meaning that in order to preserve your faith, you have to withdraw from the world. You have to get off the grid. But that man said, I left Azad Kashmir and I came here 40, 50 years ago. And I have worked and worked and worked and worked and worked to build what I have. And you come to tell me to go back? He's angry. He's furious with me. He considers me to be evil because his son is listening to me. And the son wants to go back to Azad Kashmir. The son understands. But that generation which came, no, we've come here to stay. So what do you do? If you understand and you realize, yes, this is the time for hijrah. Time to go back to Algeria, go back to Morocco, go back to Egypt, go back to Bangladesh, go back to Pakistan, go back to Afghanistan. But your wife says, honey, you can go, I'm staying. Your children say, Papa, you can go, we're staying. But you also have your father and your mother. Sheikh, how can I leave my father and my mother? So my response is, they don't know it. They probably don't want to know it. Perhaps they'll never know it. That this ship is sinking. No one can prevent it from sinking. It is divinely ordained. And when it sinks, all on board will perish. They don't know it. But you know it. So what is a sensible and intelligent thing to do? The foolish thing to do. You know, I can't get off the ship and leave my father and mother. I can't get off the ship and leave my children, leave my wife. So I'm staying on board. So the ship will sink and all of you will perish. That's not an intelligent response. The intelligent response is, get off the ship, even if you are one. Your wife doesn't want to go, your husband doesn't want to go, your children don't want to go, your parents don't want to go, but you want to go, so get off the ship. And when you have gotten off the ship, you can make dua to Allah. With dua, all things are possible. And you can make effort. And it is possible that you might succeed. And they might get off the ship. So which of the two makes sense? Staying on board and everybody perishing? Or you getting off with the chance that you can get the others to get off? This is the one that makes sense and is intelligent. When you make hijrah, don't go to live in the city. Dhaka, Karachi, Cairo. No, because Dajjal controls the cities. And Gog and Magog are most active in the cities. So safety and security lies in the remote countryside. I've just come from Albania. MashaAllah, they have lovely mountains in Albania. Perfect for Hijra. Pakistan has lovely mountains in the north. I went and I visited. Beautiful. So look for a place where there are mountains. And look for a village. It's too late now to go and build the old village. Look for a village. If you are not married as yet, marry a girl from the village. That makes sense. If you marry a girl from the village will embrace you. If not, then try to get to live in the village. But when you go to live in the village, you must live the village the way the villagers live. Don't try to transform the village into London way of life. Okay? When Imam al-Mahdi comes, alayhi salam, and you offer him some biryani, will the Imam start to eat without first washing his hands? I'm not hearing you.
No.
Did you answer me? No, the Imam will first go and wash his hands. When Nabi Isa alayhi salam returns and you offer him some biryani, would he eat without first washing his hands?
No.
But then why have we all abandoned it? All of us. I am invited for dinner with scholars of Islam. And I'm the only one asking, where can I go and wash my hands? The only one. But people in the village, they wash their hands before eating. Why? Because they eat with their hands. It is only in London, perhaps, where someone will take a naan, Pakistani naan, and with a knife and fork. Because it is uncivilized to touch the food with your hand, says Britain. It is uncivilized to touch the food with your hands. You are barbarians, you natives. We are the people of culture and civility. We will teach you how to live. So listen, Imran, you don't need to wash your hands anymore. That was yesterday. Today you use cutlery, and we teach you this for that and that, for that and that. You have to learn to use cutlery. So you learn and then you go on to teach the village to stop washing your hands? It doesn't make sense. If you make Hijra and you go out and choose a village, you must live the way the villagers live. They live in simple huts and you go and build a mansion, the village will hate you. The village will detest you. The village will expel you eventually. And when you leave and you make Hijra, Bismillah, there is no return ticket. You don't make Hijra with a return ticket. That I left Sydney I went back to Bangladesh, but 6 months of it was too much for me, and I went back to Sydney.
Yes.
I left Somalia, and I came to Britain, and I decided, no, I can't live here. I'm going back to Somalia. And you go back and you say, this is hell, I can't stay here. You fly back to London. No, this is not Hijra. Hijra has no return ticket. When you make Hijra, you put your trust in Allah. Tawakkul al Allah. And whatever be the difficulties you have to endure, you do it with sabr, with patience. That is Hijra. And you don't give up. You stay and stay and stay with whatever you have to face. You don't give up. When they made Hijra and they went to Abyssinia, that was our first Hijra. Did they give up and come back? No. When they made the second Hijra and they left Mecca, and they went to Yathrib, and then the name of the city was eventually given a second name, Medina. Did they leave and come back? No. Once you make Hijra, there's no return. So this is my last advice to you. If you choose to make Hijra and to return back home, even if you are born in Britain, this is not a place for you to live or for your children to be brought up in. For some of you, it's already too late. But all things are possible with Allah. And if you make tawbah, you seek forgiveness from Allah, and you ask Allah for help, then Allah can open for you doors where no doors now exist. They're not going to leave. They left Pakistan to come here, open a Darul Uloom here, and they're getting good money here. They're living comfortably here. The families are comfortable here. They're not leaving to go back to Pakistan. Your Maulanas and your Muftis. They're not going to leave. But you, particularly the young ones who are now getting married and you just have you're getting your children now. These are the ones most vulnerable of all. And I want to end with this verse of the Quran, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Uku anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Protect yourselves and protect your families from the fire. This is indeed the fire. The headquarters of a man marrying another man and getting a marriage certificate is here. It's here. The headquarters of riba, which has made Pakistan so poor, and Bangladesh so poor, and Somalia so poor, and Egypt so poor, and Algeria so poor, and Morocco so poor. Should I continue? And Indonesia so miserably poor. Riba. And this is the headquarters, the riba in the monetary system and the riba in the banking system. Darul Uloom is not teaching that subject. Allah bless me to have the qualification to teach the subject of monetary economics, Islam and monetary. I am probably the only one who graduated from an Institute of Islamic Studies and then went to study international monetary economics, but they wouldn't listen to me. These arrogant people, they wouldn't listen to me. This is the headquarters of riba. And you're living here, and you're eating your biryani and going home to sleep. It means you stop thinking. No, the important thing for you to do is to think and seek guidance from the Quran. And now make preparations for your hijra. We'll stop now and we have a few minutes, inshallah, for questions and answers. Bismillah.
Is a cryptocurrency alternative, is that halal?
If we can stick to the subject first, anything else you can do it during
the... this money to me
is... Is it really? If it's really, it's fine. But you'll have basically time during the...
Have you read anything I've written or listened to anything I've said on the subject? No.
No.
But I have been teaching the subject for 25 years now. I've written books on the subject, okay? So it pains me. It pains me when someone has absolutely no knowledge at all of what I have taught, when I've been teaching the subject for 25 years now. The way to begin the subject of cryptocurrency is to go to the Quran and ask what is money in the Quran. And when you go to the Quran to ask what is money in the Quran, the definition of money in the Quran is that money always has intrinsic value, not fictitious value. The Mufti hasn't studied this subject. Were you giving fatwa? Yes. He hasn't studied this subject, but he's giving fatwa. So if cryptocurrency has intrinsic value, it's halal. So does it have intrinsic value?
No.
Then what is the answer? It's not halal, it's haram. All money, all, which does not have intrinsic value, does not qualify to be used as money. What do? You take a piece of paper, and let me warn you, don't attempt to challenge me because I know my subject. You take a piece of paper. Yes, I have to give this warning. I have spent my life studying the subject in two universities, and someone who has absolutely no knowledge at all of the subject, he wants to challenge me. I went to Iran, where you have the Ayatollahs, and I met the top Ayatollahs of Iran, and I found they had no knowledge of the subject. The Ayatollahs asking me, could you explain it to us? This is the pathetic bit. Money in Islam must have intrinsic value. And if it does not have intrinsic value, it's bogus. You take a piece of paper and you print a picture and you put a number and you give to that piece of paper a fictitious value. How you say that in Bangla? Fictitious value, Mujahid?
He doesn't know.
In Urdu?
Afsanvi?
I
think it's called Nakal.
Nakal means copying something. Bogus value. Bekar value. Bogus. The English word is fictitious. Fictitious. And then I made a joke once with a galaxy of Islamic scholars present in a conference in Brunei. I made a joke and nobody laughed. I was puzzled. I'm making a joke and nobody laughed. I said, They have hard currency and we don't. So their currency is in demand all over the world. And our currency, you take a whole suitcase filled with Pakistani rupees and you bring it to London, you can't even buy a cup of coffee. So how do they get the hard currency? So I said they have a particular chemical solution. And they dip the paper in the chemical solution and it comes out as hard currency. And if we could ever get that chemical solution, we would also have hard currency. Imagine I make a joke and nobody laughs. Because they believed it. Yes, it is a galaxy, including one of the most famous English scholars of Islam, the Englishman. He was present there. Nobody laughed because they didn't know the subject. They didn't know the subject. So the answer is cryptocurrency is just as bogus as electronic money and as the petrodollar. And as paper currency, and as the one universal currency that is coming for all of mankind. Next question. Yes.
In the beginning, you said to recite the Quran the way Allah recited it. How did you recite it like that?
It's now 5 to 9. I can finish by 10 o'clock. Shall I?
How about this as a suggestion? Because the topic is of Hijra, if we can stick to that topic.
Yeah, the question is how to recite the Quran. I just said, I wrote a book entitled The Quran and the Moon. I'm now beginning to suspect that after I have left this world, this book will eventually emerge as the most famous book of all. At this time, it is Jerusalem in the Quran, which is at the top of the list. Surah Al-Kahf in the modern age after that. The Quran and the Moon is just about 100 pages long. Go to my website and download it. Okay? Print it out. You have permission to print it out. The only thing you're not allowed is to use my books commercially. That's all. But you have the freedom to download it and read the book. Yes? You ask the question already. I come back to you. You asked a question already?
No, I didn't.
Go ahead.
Okay, just I don't know if anyone for the topic of Hijra. So my question is, I guess there's two parts to it. So I understand what you're saying.
Oh, you're asking two questions.
Well, there's two parts to the question.
Two parts to the question. All right, let me take part one. Go ahead.
So firstly, like, I understand what you're saying about making Hijra, but realistically, there's what? Millions of people in the West, right?
Yeah.
How is, you know,
I have not come to offer a solution to millions of people. I am not there for that.
Yeah.
I am here to offer a solution to only those people who wish to be faithful to the Quran, not the rest. Not the rest. I'm not here for the rest.
There's not many of them either, is there?
If you want to be faithful to the Book of Allah, I'm here to help you. The rest go somewhere else. Yeah, plenty more Maulanas and Darul Ulooms. Yeah. I'm not offering solutions for all of them. You came here, you bought a house with a bank loan on interest, you have a rope around your neck for 40 years. If you lose your job, you lose your house. Sheikh, what can I do? Not me, I can't help you. I can't help you now. It's too late for you now. Yes, second question?
Well, the second part is, so we make Hijra to, like, Muslim countries. But
no, you don't have to make Hijra just to a Muslim country.
Okay.
You have pious Christians in the world. Yes. And there are Christians in the world today who are drawing closer to Islam. The Orthodox Christian world. They're waiting for me in Greece. Greece is a country with a tremendous hatred for Islam. Which Islam? Ottoman Islam. They said, we never heard this Islam before that you are giving us. We never knew that these things were in the Quran. And they're drawing closer to me. They're waiting for me in Thessaloniki. So you can make hijra and live amongst Christians who are a God-fearing people. There are Hindus in the world who are righteous people. Did you know that? A hurricane came 100 years ago and blew away the roof of the masjid in a town called Tacarigua in Trinidad. The pundit was the head pundit for the country. The pundit came to the imam. Imam, you've lost your roof, but Juma is coming. Imam, I've come to offer the mandir. Come and perform your salah to Juma in the mandir. The pundit's son is the one who told me. The imam said, Pandit ji, thank you for your offer. But how can we perform our salat in the mandir when you have all these murtis, the idols? The pandit said, no problem, I'll remove them all. The Jamaat, the Hindu Jamaat, rebelled against the pandit. But he was so powerful, he took control. He removed all the murtis from the mandir. And the imam and the Jamaat came and they performed Salatul Juma in this mandir, Hindu mandir, for 6 weeks until the roof of the masjid could be rebuilt. I am not making any comment on whether this is legal, permissible in Islamic law. I'm simply telling you what a Hindu pandit did. Okay? So if you find a Hindu people who are living a righteous life and show no tolerance for oppression, and that government in India is an oppressor in Kashmir, you can live with such Hindu people. You can live with Christian people. But those who are waging that bogus jihad in Syria, they will never accept this from me. They've done more harm to Islam than anybody else. But tell them for me, you can't stop the truth. You can't prevent the truth from being proclaimed. You can kill a man, but you can't kill the truth. Tell that to them for me. So go and live amongst Christians. When you find righteous Christian people, sometimes the Christian is more honest as a businessman than your Muslim brother. I wanted to buy some sterling pounds in Islamabad. I had the rupees. I wanted to buy 400 pounds. When I came to London, I found that only 100 was valid. And the other 300 is given us notes which had expired, which cannot be used. Not even the bank would change it for you. Yeah? The money changer in Islamabad, he knew that. But he offloaded this money on me because he was dishonest. Yeah? So live amongst people who are righteous in their conduct, whether they are Muslim or Hindu or Christian. It doesn't matter. Any more questions? Yes?
There's mountains around the UK. Can we move to villages away from the big cities in the UK?
In other parts of the world, I would say yes, but not Britain. Because this is the headquarters of Dajjal, first headquarters, yeah. And this island is too small. So I don't think there's any security or safety anywhere in any village in Britain. Okay? And rather you should be making hijra out of Britain. Next question. Yes, Mujahid.
Are there any examples of Muslim villages being formed in the Quran?
The Quran does not speak about creating Muslim villages, rather it says something else. Tell me which surah of the Quran. Wasbir. Wasbir nafsaka. Which surah? Suratul Kahf. Let your heart be content in keeping the company of those who call on Allah morning and night seeking His face. And don't let your gaze be diverted from Him and from such people because of your attraction to the glitter of the dunya. You know, outside there's a BMW, it looks real nice. And that Mercedes out there, I wish I could have it. The glitter of the dunya. And do not submit. وَلَا تُتِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. And do not submit and follow those whose hearts we have caused to become negligent of our zikr. And as a consequence, they follow their own agenda. And all that they're doing is in vain. Suratul Kahf. This is the same principle of getting out of the city because you're looking for like-minded people. Any more questions? Yes?
So just as a practical thing, in this room you have like people from different countries, like ethnically. So you have Bengalis, Pakistanis, Somalis in this room. If you wanted to form a Jamaat, what would be your advice in terms of where to go, which country, for example, could expand on that?
I've just come from Albania. The government is NATO. Pro-NATO, but people are not. Albanian TV, television came to interview me. In 5 months in Pakistan, I never allowed any television interview, any radio, any newspaper interview, nothing. I just kept a low profile in Pakistan. But in Albania, I was there for a short time, so I said, okay. So the television people came and they interviewed me. I said, don't release the interview until after I've left. When they released the interview in Albania, it created a storm. And within 2 days, the government ordered the television station, take it off. Because there were lots of Christians in Albania who were happy with what I was saying. Very happy and pleased. There were some Muslims as well, but the rest who were all brainwashed by Turkey. And said, no, we can never give back Hagia Sophia. It belongs to us, it's a masjid. They were thoroughly hostile. Opposed to me, and also all the Dajjal's warriors who waged a big bogus jihad in Syria, they now list, many of them are now in Albania seeking refuge. And of course they hate me and despise me. But other than that, the Albanian people welcome me. And in the villages of Albania, the mountains of Albania, you have a nice place to go and make hijrah. Yes? But the problem for you is the legal problem. How will you get residence? You might get a permit, a visa, with a British passport. You could go to Pakistan, spend 3 months. Okay? But how do you get residence, resident permit? That is a problem I can't solve. But in making your hijra, the first solution is to find a place where you are legally allowed, not which the one you like the most. Next question. Yes?
Sheikh, I heard one of your speech, and you mentioned a hadith, mafhum is that if a person died without the bayah of Khalifa, so he died the death of Jahiliyyah, and then you mentioned Tanzeem Islami, that you joined Tanzeem Islami. Are you still a member of any Jamaat? Have you given a plate, or would you recommend a Jamaat for us?
Yes.
There is another hadith. Where the Prophet was speaking to Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he's telling him to stay with the Imam and stay with the Jama'ah. And Huzaifa asked him, "What, O Messenger of Allah, if there is no Jama'ah, what do I do?" He said, "Break your sword on a stone, damage the sword, and flee, seek refuge." This hadith indicates that when you cannot find a Jama'ah, I can spend another 25, I spent how many years in the Tanzeem? About 5 years. Tanzeem will not accept that paper money is haram. No, Jamaat Islami will not accept that paper money is haram. I was very close to Dr. Israr Ahmad Rahimahullah. He said to me, "Imran, I want to appoint you as the Amir for the whole of North America. And if I had stayed in the Tanzeem, I would have been constantly rising." But Dr. Israr Ahmad and I had different methodologies for study of the Quran, and that led to the parting. I met with Qazi Hussein Ahmad, Rahimahullah. I spent more than 1 hour teaching him the subject of money. After 1 hour, he stood up indignantly from his chair and he said about paper money, "Ye to dhoka hai. This is bogus." So I said to Pir Qazi Sahib that it is haram. He said, no, I can't say it's haram. Only Mufti can say that. You want me to join that Jamaat? Dr. Israr Ahmad Tanzeem is the same thing. They're stuck in concrete, although they're very nice organizations. I like them, they're disciplined. But they're stuck in intellectual concrete. They can't move. So I can't find, if you can tell me where that Jamaat exists, let me know. A Jamaat which exists, which believes that Gog and Magog is already released. And they control power in modern Western civilization. Tell me where that Jamaat is. A Jamaat which said that the money we're now using is haram. And we must return to dinar and dirham. Tell me where that Jamaat is. Yes, next question. Okay, no more questions. When, Mujahid? Okay, we have some time. My books are at the back there. And if you don't have the funds to pay now, never mind. You can take the books and you can pay Mujahid afterwards. I still have until the 30th I'm leaving. So he can pay me afterwards. Okay, please take a look at the books. We have only 2 copies of each book, huh?
An
old Indian scholar who lives where?
Down the road.
Down the road?
Yes.
And his name is?
Isa Mansouri.
Isa Mansouri, okay.
He was one of the first brothers in the 60s to come to the UK.
Uh-huh.
And he studied in Gujarat, I think.
Yeah.
He's very well renowned, and he was the Imam of the London Central Mosque, Eastern Mosque, in the 1970s.
Okay.
If you want, if you're interested in meeting him, Sheikh.
No, no, I don't have the time. I have only a few days left.
I thought you were going to the
Punjab. Yeah, I have a few days left. Okay. I don't have the time to go visiting people at this time. Convey my salams to him.
You got another lecture coming up, or was it just this lecture that you go? Have you got another lecture coming up?
No, no. Just go to my web, my YouTube channel, and you get the information of future lectures.
Thank you very much for the lecture.
The YouTube channel.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah.